So our second panelist is Cody Naylor. Cody supervises the California Public Utility Commission's Transportation Analysis Section, which provides advisory support to the Commission on the passenger transportation sector under its regulation. Immediately prior, he was the Commission's lead analyst on policy and regulation of autonomous vehicles. Cody has worked for the Commission since 2013 in other capacities, including as an investigator and as a liaison to local governments. Before joining the Commission, Cody was a legislative aide in the California State Assembly. He graduated from UC Berkeley in 2008. Let's all give a warm welcome to Cody.
All right. Good afternoon, and thank you so much for having me today. I want to start off by telling you a little bit about the California Public Utilities Commission. We are a state regulator over a lot of different industries in California. The gas and electric utilities that are private and investor-owned, so PG&E, Southern California Edison. The water utilities, like Cal Water Service Company, Golden State Water Company. We regulate the railroads, Union Pacific, BNSF. We regulate BART and Muni. We regulate telecommunications companies, so AT&T, Verizon, and of course we regulate the transportation industry, particularly the private for-hire passenger carriers in California, which include all of those big tour buses that you may have seen in San Francisco around Union Square. Any vehicle that has the letters PCP on it, which is a lot of limousines and black car, town car services that take people around. And then for purposes of today, I'm going to be telling you about one of the newest members of our regulatory framework, transportation network companies, or TNCs, which, as you know, include Lyft and Uber, and there are about 14 other such carriers in California that we regulate in that manner. So today, the purpose of my presentation is to give you an overview of a law that was enacted last year and took effect this year that the Commission is implementing. It is Senate Bill 1376, the TNC Access for All Act by State Senator Jerry Hill. And I'm going to start off by reading off some of the legislative intent from SB 1376, which amended the Public Utilities Code. These are just a couple of parts that I picked out that I thought summarized the intent of the law well. So first, it's the intent of the legislature that the Commission initiate regulation of charter party carriers, which include TNCs, to ensure that transportation network company services do not discriminate against persons with disabilities, including those who use non-folding mobility services. I just want to point out that when they mean non-folding mobility devices, they generally refer to non-folding wheelchairs. And although the law does make it express that it is intended not to discriminate against persons with disabilities, most of the requirements of the law focus on the adoption of wheelchair-accessible vehicles. And that's important to bear in mind as we talk about more of the requirements. In addition, regarding intent, the law states that there exists a lack of wheelchair-accessible vehicles, or WAVES, available via TNC online-enabled applications or platforms throughout California. In comparison to standard vehicles available via TNC technology applications, WAVES have higher purchase prices, higher operating and maintenance costs, higher fuel costs, higher liability insurance, and require additional time to serve riders who use non-folding motorized wheelchairs. So, as was noted in the definition of a TNC that Kate presented, TNCs provide an on-demand manner of transportation. It's been a very convenient way for people to get around in those areas of the state where they offer TNCs. However, TNCs cannot own vehicles, so what they rely on are people using their own personal vehicles to provide transportation. One of the big barriers for wheelchair-accessible vehicle deployment in California is that most people in their own individual capacity don't own a wheelchair-accessible vehicle, or if they do, they're probably not going to use it to pick up people and give them rides around for money. It is generally regarded as an expensive type of transportation to offer, and has unique infrastructure as part of the vehicle, that equipment that has to be maintained and can increase the cost of operating it. So this is the intent of the law, or at least part of it. I want to move on by talking about the law's basic structure, which is that the law imposes a per-trip, quote, access fund fee on, quote, TNC trips that originate in, quote, geographic areas selected by the commission to facilitate on-demand wave service beginning July 1st, 2019. So in order to make wheelchair accessible vehicles more available, the state has opted to subsidize the transportation by collecting monies from TNC trips. There are two base general categories of entity that can spend the money. One is a TNC itself. The law states that, this is me summarizing, but the fee monies can be spent by TNCs directly via, quote, offsets or exemptions, or be distributed by the commission on an uncompetitive basis to access providers to provide on-demand wave service in designated geographic areas. So the state collects a surcharge on TNC trips. It goes into a big pot of money, and two entities can spend it, a TNC or this entity called an access provider that we're going to talk a lot about. Then TNCs and access providers have to demonstrate the presence and availability of waves and improve response times as a result of spending fee money expenditures, and they have to report data to the commission on trips that are requested and fulfilled, response times, and other criteria that the commission can set. So this slide discusses the fee itself. It states that the commission shall require by July of 2019 that each TNC pay on a quarterly basis to the commission an amount equivalent to, at a minimum, 5 cents for each TNC trip completed using the TNC's app that originates in one of the geographic areas that the commission selects, except if the TNC meets the requirements of an exemption established by the commission. The commission may adjust the fee in each geographic area selected to different levels based on the cost of providing adequate wave service within the geographic area. So this means that not only is the commission going to impose a surcharge on each TNC trip, we get to pick how much that surcharge is and where it's collected from. So for example, if the commission decided in Alameda County, every TNC trip that originates here would have a fee attached to it to provide wheelchair accessible service, we would get to pick, is it all of Alameda County? Is it just Oakland? Is it just Albany? And should it be 5 cents? Should it be 10 cents? Should it be 50 cents? Should it be any amount, really? And then the law requires that this fee be passed through to customers. So it states each TNC shall charge its customers on each TNC trip completed the full amount of the per trip fee established and remit the total amount of those fees charged to the commission each quarter. So this means that whatever the commission imposes as a fee has to be paid by the riders. The TNC doesn't absorb the cost. It comes out of the fare for each trip provided. So I mentioned that the commission selects where in the state this surcharge will be imposed. And the law states that that we shall select these geographic areas based on the demand for waves within the area and select it according to statutorily mandated workshops that we've been holding. The commission shall allocate monies in the access fund for use in each geographic area in a manner that's proportional to percent of access fund fees originating in that geographic area. This means that where the fee's imposed and the money's collected, the money has to go back to that geographic area. So if we collected the money from Alameda County and say it was $1 million, that means the funding that's spent on this program, the money would have to be basically $1 million would be apportioned to Alameda County for that transportation from this fund. Regarding the criteria for demand for waves, I wrote a staff paper on this subject, and what I looked at were two ways of looking at demand. One is known demand, which was a way to mirror the potential demand for on-demand wheelchair accessible vehicles to the known data we have about the demand for non-wheelchair accessible vehicles. So for example, in San Francisco and in Los Angeles, this is where the vast majority of TNC trips occur. So it would make sense for San Francisco and Los Angeles to be geographic areas if we base the establishment of the geographic criteria on known demand. The other way of doing it is on latent demand, which is recognition of the fact that we don't really have an on-demand wheelchair accessible vehicle option today. So chances are the data that we collect from paratransit, from other types of accessible transportation, isn't necessarily going to be indicative of what demand for an on-demand Lyft Maneuver ride is for somebody who uses a wheelchair. So that's how we looked at demand for waves, and then we are continuing to hold workshops throughout the state discussing implementation of this program. We've had 3 of them so far in San Francisco, Sacramento, and most recently in Los Angeles. We have at least 2 more to do, and at these public workshops we talk about different aspects of implementing the law, including the geographic areas. Okay, this slide's about how a TNC can spend the money directly through what the law calls an offset. This slide states that the commission shall authorize a TNC to offset against amounts due for a particular quarter the amount spent by the TNC during that quarter to improve wave service for each geographic area and thereby reduce the amount required to be remitted by the commission, or remitted to the commission. So this means what the TNCs collect in a geographic area, because it's a surcharge imposed on their trips, they have the option of spending it themselves if they fulfill certain criteria. In particular, the law states that they have to demonstrate in the geographic area where they've been spending the money the presence and availability of drivers with waves, improved level of service, including reasonable response times due to those investments for wave service compared to the previous quarter, efforts undertaken to publicize and promote available wave services to disability communities, and a full accounting of funds expended. So this is a statutory criteria that the law imposes on what TNC has to provide and demonstrate to be basically entrusted to spend the money that's collected from the surcharge themselves. But the commission ultimately has to designate the actual criteria for things like what an improved level of service due to their investments in wave service actually means. That's a pretty broad phrase. And also, what they would have to provide what a TNC would have to give the state to demonstrate a full accounting of the funds expended. This slide is kind of an extension of what an offset allows. This is if a TNC fulfills a designated level of wave service that the commission requires to be met in each geographic area, they actually get to keep 100% of the money. So an offset is however much you spend in a quarter, you get to keep. But if you meet a service level that the commission designates, rather than just what you spend, whatever you collect, you keep. In particular, the law says that the commission shall adopt a designated level of wave service that is required to be met in each geographic area via a TNC's online-enabled application and platform in order to be exempt from paying the fee required for the next year, so it's a year that they get to keep the money for, in that geographic area. As part of the designated level of wave service in each geographic area, the commission shall require a TNC at a minimum to have response times for 80% of wave trips requested via TNC's app within a time established by the commission for that geographic area. So in other words, if in Alameda County we said every wheelchair accessible vehicle trip has to be provided within 10 minutes, if a TNC demonstrated at least that and said all of our wheelchair accessible vehicle trips came within 10 minutes, doesn't matter where in the county, all of them met that criteria, then if they fulfill any other criteria that the commission designated to, they would actually be exempt from having to pay any of this access fund fee to the state for that year. So aside from TNCs directly, the law also creates an opportunity for entities called access providers to apply for money from this fund that the commission would distribute money from. An access provider is defined as an organization or entity that directly provides or contracts with a separate organization or entity to provide on-demand transportation to meet the needs of persons with disabilities. That is a very broad kind of definition. But these are the entities that are enabled to apply for funding from the Access Fund. The commission is required to distribute funds from the Access Fund on a competitive basis to access providers that establish on-demand programs or partnerships to meet the needs of persons with disabilities, including wheelchair users who need a wave. Access providers is something that we're going to talk about more too. By April 1st of this year, the commission is going to request that access providers submit applications to receive funds. They have to do so by April 1st, 2020, and then the commission will select the on-demand transportation programs or partnerships to receive funding by July 1st of 2020. Like a TNC, an access provider also has to demonstrate that they are meeting certain criteria, particularly at a minimum, how the program or partnership improves response times for wave service compared to the previous year, presence and availability of waves within the geographic area, and efforts undertaken to publicize and promote available wave services to disability communities. The statutory criteria for access providers and TNCs is almost identical as far as what the law says they have to demonstrate to basically be entrusted to spend the money that is collected from this fee. The way distribution of funding in cities that have comparable types of wheelchair accessible vehicle fee funded programs is actually administered by local governments. This is generally a reflection of the fact that cities and counties in other parts of the country regulate TNCs directly versus in California where the state fulfills that responsibility. So I bring this up to point out that the law being implemented in California is very, 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 very different than any other part of the country that has a program like this. There are no cities and counties that have this framework where TNCs and other entities are both accessing money from the same big pot. There's no restriction on exactly what an access provider is, except that they have to, you know, establish on-demand transportation programs or partnerships. So there is a pretty interesting question of what an access provider, what kinds of access providers will call upon the money. But I think one area of particular interest is how this money could potentially flow to local governments in order for the money to then be distributed to actual transportation providers. So in other cities, or in cities throughout the country, the taxi fleet is heavily relied upon to provide wheelchair accessible vehicle transportation. So it's an open question to what extent that the state should have money flow to local governments for distribution to their regulated transportation sector. Both TNCs and access providers have to report data to the commission when they spend money. After July 1st, 2020, they have to report the number of wave rides requested, the number of wave rides fulfilled, data detailing the response time between when a wave ride was requested, when the vehicle arrived, information regarding educational outreach to disability communities, including but not limited to info on promotion and availability of waves for wheelchair users, and a detailed description of expenditures or investments as applicable. This is a statutory minimum required information. The commission can impose a lot more requirements on what other information has to be reported for any expenditures of the fee money, and it also determines how this data will be treated, whether it will be confidential or public. Because this law took effect this year, and it has implementation steps that were very, very immediate, the commission has already undertaken process to basically establish the fee amount and select where in the state the geographic areas will be designated. So in other words, the commission by July 1st of this year will have to select how much money is going to go on each TNC trip for this program and where in the state is going to be. We have like a couple voting meetings left in the year, so a proposed decision basically has to come out this week. And then the very latest we could take it up is the very end of June. And then whatever the commission adopts will be what fee amount gets added to different parts of the state. Next, the commission will need to select the criteria for how the money is spent and how it needs to be accounted for. In a scoping ruling that was issued earlier this month, we said it by Q1 of 2020 is when the commission anticipates making that decision. And then finally, at a to-be-determined date in 2020, the Commission will establish the reporting requirements for expenditures from the Access Fund. This slide describes how you can get involved in the Commission's proceedings. SB 1376 is being implemented in our rulemaking 1902012. In order to have the most direct impact on the decisions the Commission makes, you have to become what's called a party to the proceeding. The Commission is a very formal body. We regulate gigantic corporations, and the decisions that we make have usually pretty long-lasting implications. So our process is like a little court. We have judges. We have an evidentiary record. We have parties. My role is to advise the Commission. I'm extremely limited in the things I can talk about. You might be super disappointed during the Q&A by what I can discuss. But that is the most...
Secret agent.
Not quite that exotic. But my advice is to any entity that has the resources and the interest to have the most direct input into the Commission's process, as they become a party to the proceeding, requires filing a motion, has to be granted by a judge. It's a whole thing, but it's actually pretty simple once you get over that initial step of filing the motion. In addition, you can also just join the service list for the proceeding. This means that anything that's filed, anything that basically happens in the proceeding, you'll get as an email. So any comments for parties in the proceeding, any ruling that's issued, anything that happens in the formal process, if you join the service list, you will get it in your inbox. Because the Commission processes are very formal, in order to get involved, one option is to submit what are called informal comments. It's basically you can send an email, you note the number of the proceeding, it ends up going to the judges and to the commissioners. It doesn't have formal weight in the proceeding because it's not part of the evidentiary record, but the reality is that the commissioners are people and the judges are people and they're making discretionary decisions. So whatever the record says is what they have to base their decisions on. But if lots of people say, you should do something this way, remember that they're people. And they will be persuadable based on what people think, even if they're not parties. But what they actually cite, what their decision is based on, is very much based on the evidentiary record. We also have a website for tracking what goes on in this proceeding. Visit our TNC Access website. We created this particular for implementations proceeding. We put the workshops that have been held to date on the website so you can listen or view what has occurred. You can see the presentations, the slide decks from the presenters, and you can send us questions that you may have about what we're doing and to a lesser extent, why certain things are the way they are. I advise you to email us at the transportation programs at cpuc.ca.gov inbox if you have any questions about this program. I strongly advise that because more than one person looks at that inbox, so your chances are of getting a very timely response are greatly increased. In the alternative, you can also contact me. My contact information is here. My number is 415-703-4372. Cody.Naylor@cpuc.ca.gov, cody.naylor@cpuc.ca.gov. You can email me too. I will do my best to respond very quickly. I also manage everything related to advising the Commission on Transportation, of which this is one very big program, but it is still just one. So I apologize if you reach out to me directly and my response is delayed. But that is the end of my presentation, and I'm happy to answer some questions at this time.
Thank you, Cody.
So now we will take four brief clarifying questions. And again, if we can't get to you right after the fourth question, we are taking your name and we will put it in the queue. So let's have Dana raise your hand first.
Thank you for the presentation. I have three quick questions, I think.
Okay.
First question. The first question is, has the Commission decided what happens if the TNC can't demonstrate that they are able to provide your requirements in the geographic area?
Yeah, if the, well, there's a couple things. One is if a TNC decides not to provide service in a given county and try to access monies from this program, it stays in the pot of funds that an access provider can request when they, if and when they apply for funding.
And that kind of gets to my other question. That means that so a local government could go in and apply for the funds if it's in the pot.
That's how I see it.
Okay.
There's no, the definition of access provider is broad enough to say basically if a local government is prepared to provide an on-demand transportation option, then there's no reason why the money couldn't flow to them.
And then my last question is the surcharge, is it also applicable to wave rides or are the wave rides?
All trips.
All trips.
All TNC trips, and this is an important distinction that maybe more than anyone wants to know right now, but some people may be familiar with a, well, actually, I take it back. On what trips it is applied to is an open question. TNC trips means different things to different entities in the proceeding. So, but it would be the case that a wheelchair accessible vehicle trip would be imposed the same surcharge.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cody. Just one quick question. Is the surcharge on the origin of the trip or the destination?
The origin.
Thank you.
You talked a lot about regions. So does this mean the service is not going to be offered statewide?
That's up to the commission. So a geographic area is a unit that was not defined to necessarily adhere to any specific political boundary. In the workshops and in the staff proposal that I authored, it was recommended that counties be the geographic unit, but the commission could select one county or 10 counties or all 58 counties, or it could do something different and loop a bunch of counties together and call it a region. This was one of the parts of the law that was very broadly left to the commission to decide. So all of these options I just described are at least potential outcomes.
Is there anything that you can say about the implications of the Uber MV partnership as it relates to the offset of the fund in terms of setting the response time or the prices or anything in terms of like how that will weigh between weighing the scale for Uber or Lyft or anyone else?
Uber, I think like was mentioned by Tara, has this pilot program partnership with MV in certain parts of the state. I think some of the folks in the room were at the LA workshop that we had where Uber's pilot program was discussed extensively. What they've spent to date has no, recoupability for the money that they've spent. So when the fee starts being collected, if Uber wants to continue those partnerships, then it would need to fulfill criteria set by the commission for being able to have those expenses offset in some manner and be able to get money from this new fee-funded program. But I would say it really doesn't have any bearing on implementation of the new law, except to perhaps to the extent that they're willing to provide information about what the pilot program has shown them to date, it could help us better understand some of the implementation steps that we will want to consider as we roll this program out. But whatever they've spent to date came out of their own pocket, and nothing changes about that with this new law.